My brothers and sisters in Christ, happy Father's Day to all of our dads out there. Is today Father's Day? I'm going to make sure to have time to call my dad yet. And thanks be to God for the gift of our fathers, for all they provide. In the baptismal rite, it always moves my heart when I hear the prayer for the dad that he and his wife will be the first examples of the faith to their children. May they also be the best of examples. And so if you have a father in your life who was that example of faith to you, be sure today to give thanks to God for them at Mass. And if you are able to contact them and to show your deep appreciation and love. Fathers do so much for us in this world. And if you have a dad who loves you, who has taught you how to love, or especially taught you the faith, you have a treasure. There are many children in the world who don't have a father figure, don't have a good father figure. And so we should pray for them, especially today, that they can have a good father, and pray for our fathers to be able to be that good example to their children. It makes all the difference in the world, as we all know. It makes all the difference in the world to have a good father. And as we think about our fathers, we especially think of our Father in heaven. Literally, children every once in a while can even think that the priest who we call Father is actually God. And a lot of our children, they will understand God the way that they understand their fathers. It's a connection that's easily made. It's why it's so important to have a good father figure. They will think of God what they think of their dad, to be able to see through their dad and actually know their way to God. And we see throughout the scriptures who God really is. And God actually, as he works with his people, we can see the similarities in the work that the Father has in store for him to do the same things for his children, the things that God does. We see that in that first reading today, that it says, "You have seen for yourselves how I treated the Egyptians and how I bore you up on eagle's wings and brought you here to myself." So the Lord is speaking to all of the Israelites who are in the desert now. They're freed from Pharaoh. And they're brought close to God. God is now speaking to them. He's going to appear on the mountain and give them the Ten Commandments, his own words, giving them his promise. And so what we see the Father doing in that first reading is protecting his children against the wicked. And this is what the Father does. If he sees anything bad happening to the child, he makes sure that he goes and he faces that evil and he chases it away. The Father truly wants, first and foremost, for his child to be protected. Again, in the baptismal rite, one of the first things we do is we cast out any evil. We do a small exorcism, saying the evil one can't be here. And we know that it's even in the Our Father, that exorcism's in the Our Father that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, the very end of the Our Father, we say, deliver us from evil. And so we want all evil out. Our Heavenly Father protects us. And then it says that he gathers them to himself. So they're in the desert, but he wants them to make sure, he wants to make sure that there's a space provided for them so that they'll continually be made safe, to build up walls, to have doors and fences, to have windows so that a person can live their life in this world, protected from the storms, but still being able to interact with the world. And so we know that a lot of times the dad's job is to do that, to make sure that the house is provided for, to do the carpentry work like St. Joseph did. We have his image here with us in front of the church. St. Joseph, that hard worker, making sure that his family had the space necessary to survive. So the Father gives us that. He provides for us for all that we need, and he continues to do that. And then a third thing that the Father does, we see very clearly in the person of Jesus today. What happens? He sees all of the people gathering around him, and it says that they are like sheep without a shepherd, wandering about in so much need. Jesus says they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. And here's where the Father is revealed to us in this gospel. At the sight of the crowds, Jesus' heart was moved with pity for them. Jesus' heart was moved with pity for these people who were wandering about, didn't know which way to go. On Friday this week, we celebrated the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which was wounded for us, wounded for love of us. We know that the soldier's lance went through his heart and was pierced, and Jesus gave his very life for us. We know that the heart of Jesus is moved for love of us because the Father sent him to care for us. He saw that we were abandoned. He saw that we had gone astray, gone our own way. He saw that we die, which was never his intention for us. But he saw that that was our condition. And so as a Father who pities us, who cares for us, he sent his Son to us, as we know. And that second reading profoundly expresses that. St. Paul says that to the Romans. You know, he says, for somebody who's good, perhaps we could find the courage necessary to lay down our life for them. So for a good cause, we can all get together in battle and maybe face the enemy and hopefully be victorious. But God proves his love far beyond that, in that while we were still sinners, while we were still turning away from God, while we ourselves were putting God to the test, he died for us. He laid down his life for us. He gave his only Son to die for us. We're always moved by that image in the Old Testament where God asks Abraham to sacrifice his son, his only son, and to put him down on the wood. And Abraham was ready to take that knife, not because he wanted to, but because God told him to sacrifice his own son. And finally, at that moment, God said, Abraham, I see that you're faithful. There's no need for you to sacrifice your son. I see your faithfulness. And what God was saying is that you don't need to sacrifice your son. I'll sacrifice my son. And we see the fatherhood of God poured out for us abundantly. His pity for us, his care for us. Somebody has to die so that we can be saved. God took that on himself. And so the fatherhood of our God is so profound for us. Not only has he cast out the evil, protecting us, not only is he providing the space for us to come to him, but now he's showing that he's giving his own self, his own son for us to save us and to nourish us every day so that we make sure we have that daily bread. That's what we have in the Eucharist. Day after day, we have our Father's only begotten Son to be our food and our stay here in this life. And that's why we pray day after day, and hopefully as often as we can, multiple times throughout the day, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We all acknowledge that he's our Father, and that he really truly cares for us. And so again, we can see the importance of how important each father is in our community. If you see a father today, you say Happy Father's Day to him, and in order to encourage him and to pray for those fathers that might be struggling in any way. Because it's a hard job being a dad, a hard job being a father, to imitate the Father in heaven. And we have that grace from God to sustain us in the midst of all of our difficulties and our afflictions. We need our Father's closeness to us. We are his children, as the psalm said to us today. We are his people, the flock he shepherds. So let us do that over and over again today and throughout the year, to turn to our Heavenly Father, remember that he is our Father and that we are his children. The sheep of his flock, we come now in this Holy Mass to receive his Son in the Holy Eucharist. Let's prepare our hearts to receive Jesus, the Son of the Father, now.